Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 7. I'm Jack.
I'm ASD.
Best people have turned up this week. There you go. We're 2 points off top of the league and we're a club in crisis, so it's not a bad place to be. Are we title contenders this season? What do you think?
No.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
No, I was talking to someone earlier. We're just flat at the moment. It's quite hard to make a rational decision because everyone's feeling a bit flat. We're meant to move into the ground and we didn't. We didn't buy anyone. Mm. You know, we're sort of spluttering against Cardiff, which we'll come on to. It's just, it's a bit of a weird time to be a Spurs fan. It feels like we're a bit in limbo, you know. We're just in the middle of really excited. I'll tell you what I did on the weekend. I fixed the bath. I felt like a man.
Strong.
Yeah, I fixed my bath. And I cleaned the inside of my car, which made my wife very happy. But I was also doing some stuff in...
It's not a euphemism.
No, it's really not. I don't have time for use of euphemism. I'm a busy man. But I was cleaning... We've got a spare room, which has got the books, the board games, the tortoises, but it's also got the computer that I built. And that's the only one that plays Spurs DVDs, so I buy the season review DVD at the end of every year. But it doesn't work in my PlayStation, it rattles for some reason. Every single one, it's the only DVD, I think it's the supplier they use, funnily enough. Mm. But I haven't got last year's one, I've got the year before, which was the last season at White Hart Lane, where we didn't lose at home.
What a season.
And that's it, the atmosphere was amazing. And even though last year we had some amazing games, properly, the Chelsea, beating them away was amazing. Yeah. That Ericsson goal, the Dele Alli
Champions
goal,
League
the Champions
run,
League
yeah.
was amazing. We went out of the Champions League to one goal. That was it. We drew with Juve away, all of this stuff. And we don't have that feeling this season. We don't have that feeling so far. And so much depends on the fans. You have a look at Leicester, who it was a wave of emotion. And good luck. You have a look at Vardy. Vardy missed a few chances and he put them away. Do you remember when he was going to get the record for most consecutive games? And was it against Liverpool or Man United?
I think United he got
United,
it.
Yeah, really early on. That's purely emotion.
Yeah.
And we don't have that because we don't have the stadium. Spurs have given people their money back so they don't have to go to see Cardiff. But it just... And there's something there. Plus, we do not have the bench that City have got. If you can make two first 11s out of City, and most of them would get into our squad. We play this game a lot between us. We play Cardiff. None of Cardiff's team would get into our team. You have a look at Liverpool. Some of their team would get into our first 11. Not many, I don't think, but some of them. Nearly all of their keepers would, most of their defenders would, all of their midfielders would, all of their front, and they've got that twice over. I just don't think... We're there, and I don't think that's necessarily the aim of our project.
So, I think it's a really interesting one because I agree in the sense of we haven't really got going this season. I don't think any players individually have really got going. Everyone's sort of been at a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Manager included with team selection and tactics and that in certain games. But to be 2 points off the top and having not really played well, no Spurs fans are really buzzing at the moment. We're 2 points off top. It's our best ever start to the Premier League season. It's imagine how good we're going to be, being optimistic. How good are we going to be when we do get going and all of our players come back fit and Kane's firing and Ericsson's on form, Dele Alli's doing his stuff. We'll be nearly unstoppable, you'd think.
I totally agree. And if you have a look at, if you go back, I'm just getting our results from the previous. So if you go back, August, Premier League, we beat Newcastle, then we lost to Chelsea, we drew to Burnley, we drew to Swansea, just beat Barnsley in the Carabao Cup, we just beat West Ham. This is a year ago, sorry. We had some, average results and then we got going.
Yeah.
And we did it the year before and the year before. Yeah. I think something will click. Injuries are a big problem for us, but there's a difference between are we playing well for the team we've got and are we the best team in the land over the course of 38 games? 38 games? Mm. I'm not sure we are. Mm. And that's not a slight on us. We haven't put 600 million into our team like Liverpool have. We haven't put billions into it like City have.
I think for me, the aim is to win the title. That's the aim. Finishing top four, I would no longer say that's a brilliant achievement. I'd say if we finish top four, we've had a good season. But the aim has to be to win the title.
I agree.
But I do think we're quite away from City. I don't think I think we're about on par with Liverpool. I think I'm in the minority. A lot of people think Liverpool are this real top. So they're a good team, Liverpool. But I don't think there's much in it. I think we proved that when we played them. They battered us for a lot of the game. It was 2-1. Yeah. We didn't really play that well when we were in it. So I don't think we're necessarily title contenders, but I think the main thing for us is, can if we can be within 6, maybe 8 points of top at Christmas,
that's it.
You're right in it. And that's at that point, anything can happen. That's what Alex Ferguson always used to say. Christmas, as long as you're in it. With him, it was always sort of, if you're within 10 points, you've got a chance of winning it. Anything can happen. January window, again, players can come and go. You don't know.
We know that managers sit down with their owners at the beginning of the season with every game and say, these are the points, like win, lose or draw, what I want out of it. If you want to win the title, you need to be winning nearly every game. And we look at Chelsea away, we look at Arsenal away, we look at Liverpool away, we look at both games against City. Suddenly that's 5 games we might not win. That's 15 points, you know? And that's just the difference where those teams just do win. Chelsea are brilliant at just grinding results out. City will blow people away. And we're just not there. But like you say, we've got a brilliant team. We've got the best team we might have ever had. Ever. In history. And the thing is, they talk about the teams from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. We had good teams, we had amazing players, but none of them were as tactically astute, none of them were as fit, none of them were as fast.
Or consistent, I would say. Because I know the 80s was I wasn't around to see it, and I would love to have seen back-to-back FA Cups, but we've always been a cup team, Spurs, just down the years, and probably since Poch has come in, actually, we're now that consistent, stable side. Times have changed. The end goal has to be the title. But is it going to come this season? I don't think it will. But what I would say, to be not playing great and be where we are, traditionally we're slow starters under Pochettino. It always takes us a bit of while to get going. It's just, that's how we play. You need match fitness. You need to just be in the rhythm of it. So, I don't know. There's a lot of football still to play. And people are saying it's a two-horse race between City and Liverpool. I actually think Chelsea are looking pretty decent at the minute as well.
Yeah, man.
And you just don't know. You really don't know.
We talk about Hazard, and he just keeps on... This might be his best season ever, by the way he's playing. If there was... We didn't prepare for this, but if there was a player which we got rid of over the last 5 years, it's not Bale or Modric, that you could have back at the club right now, who would it be? Because I was thinking someone like Paulinho, actually...
Head's gone.
Because you think, but then I was thinking maybe Chadley actually would be quite useful. I think we need a centre back.
Ledley. Bring the man back.
We didn't get rid of
him. Bring the man back.
Imagine him back now. He'd be awful.
He'd still do a job. He'd still, honestly, you know, he'd probably only last about 15 minutes.
Dawes isn't right.
I think that. I know people are saying a lot about our attacking play this season has not been fantastic, because that when you watch a game, you want to watch the attacking side. But I actually think defensively is where we've fallen down a little bit this season. Like, it's just one game, but if we'd have beaten Watford in that game, we were winning 1-0, we'd be sat top of the league at the minute. And the games where we've dropped points and lost, Liverpool set play, we've conceded a lot of goals where you think, oh, actually, you know what, if you did have a Ledley in there, would that have been the difference? I like to think he would have stopped one of them, and it would be a different story. But Rafa as well, Van der Vaart, like, I know his physique probably wouldn't suit Poch, but you know, just for the goals and the assists he used to get, like, imagine having him back in.
The thing is, he was inconsistent, wasn't he?
In the smaller games, he would often not do a lot, but then you'd get a big game and he would just turn it on. He was a phenomenal player. So I don't know, feel like there's something about players that are physically inferior, so the ones that maybe carrying half a stone too much and aren't quick but have just got it upstairs. Teddy Sheringham, another one, like, you just used to watch him. Robbie Keane,
Holtby,
not not the quickest. Noe Pamaro, you know, like, there's just, I don't know, there's just something about players that are one step ahead upstairs. You just love watching. And we've got a couple of games we want to talk about.
Yeah.
So, Barcelona being the first one. So, massive Champions League night at Wembley. Sell-out crowd.
You went.
Electric atmosphere. I wasn't there.
You went.
I wasn't there. My dad and brother were on the season tickets.
I was ill. Very ill.
North or south?
There was both. There was literally no way I could have been on the tube and not soiled myself. So, I had to get my ticket away.
But the atmosphere looked pretty incredible. There's a bit of talk because Hugo was back in the lineup, his first game back in.
Yeah.
What's your stance on that? Do you think that he should have been, in the hindsight, obviously, but if you set his performance aside for a minute, do you think he should have come straight back into the side?
Every day. If he's fit enough to be selected. Like, the goalkeeper is the one physically I worry least about coming back. Like, you know, it's like on FIFA when the player, you get the email from the physio and he returns from injury, but he's got the little cross next to his name and he could get another injury. goalkeepers I'm least worried about, unless it's been serious, like when he gets kneed in the head by Lukaku, yeah. when he got Petacek, and where that affects them mentally. Whereas this was, and maybe even a psychosomatic knee injury or whatever it was, I'm perfectly fine with it. Maybe his brain went, but it's I would put him back every day of the week.
It's interesting because I love Loris. He's the best goalkeeper I've seen at Spurs. He's our captain. But things do make you look at a man differently. And like I'm yeah. honestly, like this whole during this drink driving thing came out, I was so shocked. I was like, that's not our captain, surely. But I mean, the man on the field and the man off the field are obviously two completely.
So it's so weird, isn't it? He's a man who we never see, like Ledley, King Ledley. We saw him coming out the club with his trousers around his ankle.
Yeah. And it does make you look at someone differently, like when they're involved in something that you deem to be so out of character. And
I get a cab. I don't know.
It's so brainless. It's unbelievable. But it makes me think that he does it all the time. That's my assumption. But you know, I don't even drive if I've had half a beer. It's just my rule is I won't do it. And you think, I don't know. I don't feel like a person that wouldn't normally drink and drive would go out, get plastered, and then just think I'm going to go. Like, I feel like he probably does it consistently, and I don't care what anyone says. It will have had an impact on personal and professional relationships with people. Yeah. It will have done. Like there will be some people that just are a bit different around him now. I felt like it was extremely harsh to drop Gazzaniga, but it would have been a tougher decision for Poch to have not played Loris. To have put Loris on the bench and play Gazzaniga would probably have created more trouble than doing what he did. And his mind is probably gone, Loris is a better keeper overall than Gazzaniga. Maybe not in the last five games, but I'm going to put him back in as my captain. That's probably what he's thought.
Football is a performance-based industry. You get in based on how good you are.
Yeah.
We were playing maybe the best team that we've ever played in our history. Imagine that.
Yeah. Like, we're certainly up against the best player.
And the best player who has ever lived. And you need to stop him. And we didn't. But, you know, but you put your best team out. You do not have a choice. You can't say, it's been really nice seeing you play in MK Don's stadium against Watford. But this is Barcelona in the Champions League.
It's a tough one, isn't it? It really is. Like, I think the way Gazzaniga's played, I think he's been outstanding.
He's been brilliant.
In terms of his, for me, the biggest thing for him has just been his decision making. Like, his shot stopping. I'm a professional goalkeeper. I don't think he's made any saves that you're like, wow, could anyone else have done that? I feel like most pro keepers would have made the saves he's made. What's impressed me the most with him has been his decision making at balls over the top, at when the ball's at his feet, what am I going to do? And I feel with Hugo, I know his distribution gets slaughtered all the time, and I feel like, actually, like he can play the ball pretty much anywhere within a 50-yard radius, and he can put it on that player's foot. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is knowing when you should play the pass and when you should go, you know what, I'm getting rid. And Gazzaniga so far, and it's a really, really small sample of games that he's got, so we don't really know how good he is. He's played well, but like, is that the best he's ever going to play? And then the rest of his career is going to be we don't know.
No.
But he's been excellent when the ball's at his feet and the other team have pressed us and he's just gone, you know what, it's not worth it, and he just 60-yard bang puts it in the opposition half. I think he's been really good at that.
If at the end of the season we get a £30 million bid for Hugo and we go, right, Gazzaniga, you're our number one from next season, do you know what, I'm really sad to be losing him, but actually he'll be cheaper and that gives us the next 10 years of consistency. You know, I love Hugo. I've always loved him, like properly loved him, but he has made some howlers, and you just see it. It's consistency. That's the thing I always talk about, and you just see him go, why did you do that? And he's done it a couple of times recently.
And you can tell as well that there's a lot, because that the first goal, by the way, the pass, Messi picks the ball, Messi hadn't actually touched the ball at this point in the game. This is about a minute in, picks the ball up on the centre circle, wriggles away from, I think it's Wings, plays a pass which doesn't even make sense. Like, the fact that he's looking at that and he's gone, I know if I shake my body, the right back is going to anticipate and he's going to move 3 yards out of position, and that's enough for me to thread the ball in. And that's exactly what he did. He made Trippier look stupid.
Like a Burnley right back, didn't he?
Yeah. But at that point, we've got that situation. We're in control of that situation. Yes, they're in behind us, yeah. but there's no square ball. No. He's going to have to either take a touch and get close to the ball or check back. And you'd like to think that we can get ourselves in position yeah. to deal with it better.
Yeah.
When Lloris comes flying out, that the control's now with Barca. That they're in control of this situation now. It's like, right, I've got two passes to play and I've got an open goal. Plays a perfect pass. The finish from Coutinho is still unbelievable. Because when I watched it in real time, in my mind, Coutinho was on the penalty spot when he put it in. And then I watched it, it's 20, 25 yards. It's yeah. and Alderweireld back.
He's in back.
It's
yeah.
a great finish. But you just, as soon as that goal went in, you just thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah, exactly, here we go. And we said, you get punished for your mistakes. And it's not like Cardiff, where Junior Hoylett will sky it, or Riyad yeah. Mahrez will sky it. These boys will put it wherever they want.
Yeah.
Wherever they want. And they do it week in, week out. And they pay £100 million per player for the privilege. Yeah. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And then from then on, we were playing catch-up, which is what... We said it before, Barca make you play the way they want you yeah. to play. And when you go 1-0 down after 4 minutes, you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, Sergio Busquets attempted 67 passes in that game. Do you know how many he completed?
I do know.
67.
He's an unbelievable player. You've always said it, though. Off the mic, yeah. you've always loved him.
But there are some people that still say, oh, if you get about Busquets, you know. But you can get about any player in a 90-minute game. Even Messi, there are games where he's not at his best and he doesn't dominate matches. But if you look at Busquets, his career and all of the big games he's played in, he dominates all of them. He's near enough impossible to stop. Yeah. He was phenomenal, as was number 8, Arthur, playing in midfield, who... I was one of them. When the team sheets come out, I thought, who's this? I actually had to look up who he was, and they bought him from the Brazilian league in the summer. He's a bit of an unknown player. What a player.
Is it that he's riding the wave of, like, you put Harry Winks in there, and Winks can do, because you know I love Harry Winks, yeah. he could do the same thing because he's got like
maybe
plus five because he's surrounded by everyone. I mean, where's Brown?
But then Fergie had a team of players like that. It didn't even make sense. Yeah. But time will tell with Arthur, but he looked a really, really good player.
They're a world class team.
Like, that was made evident in the second goal.
Yeah.
The volley from Rakitic is just ridiculous. Yeah. And in hindsight, looking back at it, it's quite funny because there's a ball played over the top, and I think it's either Suarez or Coutinho that scuff the volley and it goes yeah. backwards, and everyone goes, "Wee!" And then 5 seconds later, bang. Jermaine Genus said it's one of the best volleys that the game has ever seen because he was like, the distance, his both feet are off the floor when he strikes it. It's a ridiculous technique.
It's next level, isn't it?
This
is the welcome to the Champions League, you know? We didn't expect, we predicted the loss. I think we did really well. What we've proved is we can fight. You know, we're not Arsenal. We don't. I mean, we've laughed. I was thinking about this. We've laughed at Arsenal for years because they get beaten by Barcelona week in, week out. There was one unfortunate game where Van Persie shot and he got sent off.
Yeah.
And actually, Arsenal were winning the double-legged tie at that stage after beating them 2-1 at home. I think Arshavin scored a great goal in that game.
Something like that.
But we've laughed at them for years, and you find that actually, it's near impossible to stop these two teams.
It's tough. It's just you have to make no mistakes in the game.
Zero mistakes.
Or you can make one and then they have to make a mistake on your mistake and not punish it. That's the only chance that you've got. But, I mean, at 2-0, I was really, really worried. At 2-0, if you'd have said to me this game will end 3-0, I would probably have taken that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this could now be a 5-6-0 thrashing. We got back in it.
I mean, Kane is brilliant.
The Kane goal, I feel like that's Harry Kane. That goal.
You're exactly right. Like you need that, a fighter.
Yeah, and it's just, it was the way he made a brilliant run. The pass was great.
His pass
dummied. I think it was Winks.
Yeah.
Threaded it down the channel to him. And the finish is brilliant. And at 2-1, then all of a sudden you think we're back in it. And I mean, Messi 60 seconds before hit the post when he went on that mazy run, which he did twice, didn't he? Because he did that again and hit the post. And you're thinking, at that point, I was thinking, it might be our day. We might actually get something out of this. But then the third goal goes in. The finish from Messi on the third
was
goal.
Was that the one where it comes Sissoko to tried to control it with his cock? Is that that one? He saw Adebayor against Lyon in the 2-2 where Umtiti scored and he went, "Allo." We can't do that anymore.
Christ.
That was French because he's French and it wasn't anything else. Sissoko inexplicably tried to control it sort of backwards, and it went to Messi. And Messi's the best player who's ever lived. I don't understand these comparisons with Ronaldo, where Ronaldo is a great finisher and he's finished great things, and he's done it in two leagues, and he's not really doing it in the next league, but he's got other things to distract him at the
moment. He's doing other things.
That was when he was at Man United. Although Robin van Persie's not picking up his phone to him, apparently. Anyway. Messi creates everything. We'll never see a player like him.
It's very difficult to. I've been lucky to have seen him, and lucky to have seen Ronaldo. And I love watching Ronaldo play because he gets the ball and he's so direct.
Yeah.
He's probably the most direct player that football's ever seen. But Messi's just got such an aura about him that you can't mark the man. He's always got a couple of yards of space. It's just phenomenal. The ball comes into him and you just straight away think something's going to happen here. Whenever he picks the ball up, there's a chance that there's going to be a goal in the next 30 seconds.
You know, you look at players and you go, Drogba, super strong and can finish. And then you look at Messi, he's strong, he can finish. Like he's got the best combination of anything. Yeah. He's strong, he's powerful, he's quick. He's got little feet so they can manoeuvre the ball better than anyone else. I honestly don't think we'll ever see...
You can't even really foul him either, because I'd love to see a stat on what are the average number of fouls committed on Messi per game, because I bet it's no more than two, because you can't get near enough to kick him.
Yeah.
Because there's one point in the first half where Ben Davis actually tries to forearm him in the face and he ducked it and carried on running with the ball, and you think...
This is a kid, he's what, 30, he'd be 31, 32 at my age, who for the last 15 years has been playing with older kids, bigger kids, who have just tried to bully him, and he's just better than them all.
Yeah.
He's you actually said last week, which I've been thinking about all week, and I've been doing my netting, where you said Messi might be the greatest sportsman of all time. I think Muhammad Ali beats it for me for political reasons, just because Messi hasn't done it off the pitch. You have a look at, he is there. He's there with Tyson, I think. You look at Tyson, you go, Tyson more than Ali, where you go, Jesus Christ, he's just a force field. He's just a force that just goes through things.
But it's like you do look at people, like you look at tennis and Roger Federer, top of his game, but like, there are players that are not a million miles behind him.
Yeah.
Whereas like Messi, there's no one. There's no one anywhere near him.
And he's been doing it for so... I remember when my mate Alex... he's the one who played that game we were talking about with the biscuit on the WhatsApp group.
We won't go into that.
But he went to Barcelona for a year when we were in uni, and he had to actually drop out of uni because he drank too much and got liver disease. But we went out to visit him, and we went to Barcelona. Messi was injured, but this was Messi then. I can tell you. I'm going to tell you the team.
Was it like an 17, 18-year-old.
Henri was in that team. Yeah. He was 17, 18. And he was tearing it up then. And do you remember there was a time, like 2008? No, that was Man United-Chelsea. Well, the Man United Champions League game, when people were saying he can't do it against English clubs.
Yeah.
And he scored that header and an amazing goal. Now, do you know which nationality, which league he scored the most goals against in the Champions League? It's English clubs. English clubs.
That's just the only... Because you get the Ronaldo lovers, which I am as well. He's a brilliant player. But the question mark that is always that people say about Messi is, he's only ever played in Spain. Spain's an easy league. Well, compare Messi and Ronaldo's records in that easy league. Messi wins. Compare Messi against teams from all over the world.
Messi wins.
It's ridiculous. I mean, the guy was unreal. I feel like we could have done more to have restricted him.
Yeah.
We weren't really on a game. I thought Lamella was excellent, and I thought Winks, he's been getting a lot of stick, which I don't get. I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah.
I felt really sorry for him, because I think, I don't like criticising players on here, but for me, Wanyama in that game was so poor.
Yeah.
There were times where the game plan was obvious in the midfield. Biscuits gets on the ball, Winks, you got to shut him down. You just keep him facing his own goal. Try to restrict his forward passing. Yeah. You can't stop him keeping the ball. Try and restrict his forward passing. So it'd go to press Biscuits, who's about to control the ball. Biscuits would have a look, see Winks coming, and he'd play a 5-6 yard square pass to Arthur or Rakitic, and Wanyama was nowhere. Yeah. He wasn't pressing
just
with him.
Poor,
he wasn't pressing. And then Winks would then chase the ball, be a 1-2 round him, and everyone would be like, what's Winks doing? And actually, in midfield, you're a pair. One presses, the other sits. But as soon as you see that player with the ball about to play the pass, you've got to be on your bike, pressing that next man. And I just felt really sorry for him. The game changed in the second half when Dyer came on, because I actually thought Dyer off the ball did a lot of work for Winks, which allowed Winks to get on it. Winks was getting on the ball in the Barca half.
Yeah.
Whereas in the first half, he was receiving it off the back four. He couldn't really do a lot with it. So that partnership's better for me.
He did a fabulous turn, though, like to get himself out between two Barca players. You're right. Wanyama just was not good enough. He was not on
the level. I feel like he's a good player, Wanyama, and he's been injured. He hasn't played a lot of football. Yeah. So coming back into that game is always going to be tough for him. Like, they would both have had to have probably played the best they've ever played for us to have got something. So I don't want to dig him out too much, but I was frustrated at Wanyama in that game, and I didn't think that he kept the ball particularly well either. He's one that when he gets harried, he tends to be a bit of a panicker.
He's one who could get sold, and you go, it's a shame, but we either saw his best and it was not up to scratch, or he wasn't consistent.
And his strengths aren't being on the ball and having men press him and getting around him. And that's been shown in cup games last year against lower league opposition when people have been on it. But that's, you know what, that's just not his game. His game is doing that to other people. That's what he's best at. But it's just difficult.
His range of passing is poor as well. I think that's where Dyer has him. Dyer's pass to Dele Alli last year was my pass of the season, because it's not straight. In the commentary, Neville says it's straight. It curls right, which means it goes over the defender and then drops over Dele Alli's right hand shoulder, so the defender can't touch it. And Wanyama can't do that. And Wanyama's passing is short. It's 10-15 yards max. So I think Dyer, as he has been poor in some games, or he's made some weird decisions, but Wanyama is not as good as Eric Dyer.
I don't think so, but Dyer's always one that divides opinion. I can't really understand it, to be honest. But
yeah, no.
Anyway.
Good scrappy goal from Lamella, but we lost 4-2.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Cardiff. So that was a game, a lot of injuries again going into that game.
Like, serious injuries.
A lot
of
injuries. Sissoko come into the starting lineup, which caused an absolute Twitter storm, which was quite funny. Good result, poor game, I think, is probably a fair summary.
That's what we're to do.
We're now able to play not great and win games and keep clean sheets, and that's something that historic Spurs has never been able to do. So it's like, I get it, people are basically saying our football this year has not been that great to watch. It hasn't. People are saying it's like AVB stuff, which I think maybe is a little bit harsh, but we're getting the results, and I can put up with us not playing that well and we're winning. I'm fine with that.
It's not AVB, but the people who are saying it's AVB do not know what they're talking about. I went to 60 games over 2 years watching every...
You loved it.
I loved it. It was super defensive, super boring. It was Dawson, it was long diagonal balls. Do you remember those long diagonal balls to the
I bring this up all the time when we talk about AVB. Norwich at home, Parker, Livermore, Huddleston. What does that say?
That is, we don't even have the people to replicate that. Like, they... I do mean to disrespect those people, because they do not know what they're talking about. Mm. That was negative football. Mm. And AVB cannot deal with pressure as well. So he had zero personality, had zero game plan. He made changes. Like, Poch makes decisions late, like 70 minutes when he should be changing things on 60.
But he doesn't make personnel changes, Pochettino. He doesn't like that. He makes changes. If you watch the game, and we can't break it, he'll do stuff. It might be subtle and you might not notice it, but he does make a lot of changes throughout the game. Even in the first half, even when you're winning, he's always changing. He doesn't like a personnel change. I'm not sure why, but that's just... I think for him, changing the player is the last resort. If the, I'm going to change this, okay, now I'm going to change it. Right, not working, get the man on.
I think you're wise for saying that, and I think it's interesting, because I'm assuming he has worked relentlessly to understand what the opposition's going to do and give every player their role. And so if the opposition player has slightly changed their role from what he expected, you have to adapt. You have to adapt and overcome. And that's what he's doing. He's a fabulous coach. His challenge now, Pochettino, is he's approaching the time when he's going to have to start thinking about his second team. This is what we're talking about with Ferguson, where what does the team of 3 years look like?
Yeah.
Because we're going to see Alderweireld go, Subban probably going to go, we're going to see Danny Rose go.
Yeah.
Maybe even Eriksen. Eriksen might be out with this chronic illness. That's the core of your team.
And that's always the toughest point for a long-term manager, isn't it? I wanted to get your opinion on Sissoko as well, because I actually thought he did okay against Cardiff.
He was
can he ever win the fans over?
I don't think you can ever win the fans over because it's gone.
Mm.
Because and fans just have an opinion where they love players irrationally and they love players. Like, people loved Lewis Holtby and he did nothing.
Soldado.
I
never got that loving. Like, I know he seemed like a nice guy. He was shocking.
He was awful, so bad. And when
Sissoko
is in the Galas camp where they just do not like him. He might as well have come from Arsenal. But I tell you what, do you remember who went off early against Real Madrid?
Alderweireld in the home game.
Alderweireld. And Sissoko came on and I was super happy because he just shores things up. He can make a monstrous run. He makes stupid decisions and he can't pass and he doesn't know what to do with his feet. But he's a good body. He's an athlete. And so there's some times when he's good. Yeah. I just want to see him. I reckon if you got him in a season, 20 games in a row, by the end of it, he would know what he was meant to be doing. He's a player who can't think, and that's fine. He's got a role and he does it.
I think it's tough for him as well because he's always playing different positions. He's coming on holding midfield, then he's coming on right of a diamond, then he's coming on right wing. Like, it's never the same thing. It's difficult.
Yeah.
But I think actually this season, I think he's been doing all right. I think last season he did all right for us. He's not a £30 million player. That's not his fault.
No.
But I think he's done okay for us, and I feel a little bit for him because he just gets slated every week. But the only thing that I didn't get from the Cardiff game was Lucas up top, Kane as a 10.
Kane should never be a number 10. He should always be up front.
But I know that Kane himself has said that he likes that role. That's the position. And when I say I don't get it, I understand Poch's thinking. Lucas up front will stretch him. Kane will get a little bit more space. We can get the ball into him. That's the overall.
Yeah.
In a real nutshell, that's the thinking. But I feel like we don't look at our best when Kane is anywhere other than leading the line.
Yeah. Well, Kane, frankly, if he needs to get better. If he wants to be number 10, he needs to get better. Because if you have a look at the greatest number 10s in the Premier League, he is nowhere near that. But if you have a look at the number 9s, he's the best one of the bunch.
Yeah.
And it's just that simple. If the thinking is, like you say, Lucas runs left and right and Kane has the late running, that's perfect. But what that does is it squeezes everyone else behind him backwards. It's just wrong. You have a look at, if he was playing in that role against Barcelona, he wouldn't have scored the goal.
Mm.
He's a brilliant number 9.
Yeah, I agree.
You play a little bit deeper, but don't play behind someone who isn't a striker. It's just weird.
I don't like seeing him there at all. It's not.
It reminds me when Bale was playing on the right, just so we could cut in on his left foot.
It's like proper simple tactics. Yeah. That he's left footed, I'll go there so you can get on your left foot quicker.
Yeah, we might have to have a song like we did for Bale.
Yeah.
Like Harry Kane, he plays up front, he plays number 9.
That'll catch on.
Move on. Next.
But a good result overall, you know.
Should have scored more, could have scored more. Satisfactory performance. Cardiff, dreadful. Bless him.
We didn't talk about the red card actually, which is.
It's if you do that on the street, you'll go to jail.
Locked up. Yeah.
There's no more. I don't know. I don't know what else
just
to say about
one thing to add. Neil Warnock's criteria of a red card, which is he didn't endanger the opponent's life. So I don't know why he got a red. They were his words, which is amazing. Warnock. That's Neil Warnock.
I love Cardiff City. Obviously, I love Bluebirds. But my love for them was born when they were in Division 3, when they were awful, and we were playing. It's home, but it's not my football team. There's some really nasty people who support Cardiff City, and I have no place in there. And they're going down.
They're a poor side.
1-3 on already. Like they're a poor. They're not a Premier League side. They're a decent championship.
So. Time for the weekly. We are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
So, the quiz this week, because it's...
Sent in by
Quizmaster Simon Mitchell.
Thank you, Simon.
As always, brilliant quiz.
Love Simon.
This is West Ham versus Tottenham.
Not the one I walked
4th
out
of March, 2007.
Right, so this is the...
Can you figure out what the game is?
Yeah, it's
first.
I can tell you exactly where I was when I watched it. The 3-2. 4-3.
It's the 4-3. So Tottenham played a 4-4-2 in this game, okay?
I'm going to remember what the team that finished, rather than...
Exactly, that's what makes it hard. So, the goalkeeper in that game was, of course, Paul Robinson.
Yeah.
Your right back is a question mark. Your left back is a question mark.
That is such a horrible thing to do to me.
And... blame Simon, you know. Yeah. Your first centre half is Michael Dawson.
Yeah.
Your second centre half is a question mark.
That better be all the question marks.
No, it's not. There's two more. Five of them. Right hand side of midfield, Aaron Lennon.
Yes.
Left hand side of midfield, Timu Taini.
Yeah.
Central midfield, Hossam Ghali.
Yeah.
And
so I knew that one.
And a question mark. Strikers, Jermaine Defoe. And a question mark.
Well, Berbatov is that.
Berbatov. So you got Berbatov. So you need the right back, the centre back, the left back, and a centre midfielder.
Staltieri wasn't one, was he?
No, he wasn't.
It wasn't Lee Young Pyo.
It was Lee Young Pyo at left back. Good knowledge. Good guess.
Right back, it's too early for Carl Norton.
It's too early for him.
It's way too early for Carl Norton. I know what's his face came on. Tarat came on.
He did come on. You don't get a point for that, but he did come on.
And Saltieri.
So the right back
Huddleston, wasn't it? Early Huddleston.
He came on.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. The centre midfielder, I'll give you a clue on that, is currently a pundit.
JJ's
centre midfielder. So you need your right back and your centre half. So right back, this
Woodgate. No.
No. The right back had two spells with Tottenham. He was, I believe, French.
Oh, don't do this to me, because I'm going to, as soon as I hear it, it's going to. But isn't it French African?
Yes.
Isn't it? It's not so cool, right? It's.
You know it.
I know it.
You know it.
I can see him in my head. Who is it?
Pascal Chimbonda.
I was going. Yeah, I knew that.
And then the other centre half, this is quite a tough one. So he was massive. He was about 6'6", quite a gangly fella. English centre half, didn't play that many times, wasn't great.
I can't remember.
Anthony Gardner. So that team was Paul Robinson, Chimbonda, Dawson, Gardner, Pio, Lennon, Ghali, Genus, Tainio, Defoe and Berbatov.
The team now would
10-0.
What a game that was. There's really good highlights on YouTube. If none of you have seen it, because there's a lot of fans we've got who started like in the Bale years, go and watch that game, because that was Tevez's first goal for them, I think.
So Tevez actually got the second goal. So Mark, a 19-year-old Mark Noble.
If you want to talk about the story of this game, I can talk about it all day long.
He scored a half volley, which was a screamer, to be fair to him. Tevez got a free kick, which was poor goalkeeping, but a good strike.
He took his top off, ran into the crowd.
Yeah, so we're 2-0 down at half time, and you're thinking, oh my Christ, this is typical Tottenham.
Typical Tottenham. Then is the first goal. Lennon backheels it volley to Tainio.
No, that's the equaliser. So the first goal is, there's a ball up the line, up the left. Lennon's run onto it. Lee Bowyer takes him down in the box.
Yeah.
Penalty. Defoe steps up.
And they're singing.
There's a great celebration from Defoe where he just literally looks at, he just glances at the West Ham. He doesn't give it, he just looks at him, which is amazing.
He does the same thing for that goal I told you about last week where he smacks it in.
And then 2-2 is the goal that you describe the equaliser.
I can't remember who passed it, but there's a ball from midfield which sort of half lofted, but it comes at Aaron Lennon about his hip. So he jumps with his back to it and back heel volleys it to Tainio. Tainio sort of hits it a sideways volley and it goes quite flatly into bouncing.
It's a lovely strike.
Ah, beautiful strike and totally unexpected.
Yeah, really, I don't really recall him scoring.
No.
Tainio. He probably did get a few. I can feel Stato screaming. What goals he did score. And then we're 5 minutes. That's 2-2.
That's 2-2. 85th
minute, 3-2 West Ham. Bobby Zamora, former Spurs.
First touch, I believe.
Comes on for a set piece, whips in. And again, the keeping is questionable. 3-2, so you're thinking, that's that then, we've lost it.
No, it's not. Tarap gets the ball. Who's just come on, and he's young then, and he's tricking around and gets brought down quite close to the edge of the box.
Yeah,
like actually
on the line. Yeah,
and then Berbatov steps up and sticks it over the wall, but then over someone who's on the line.
Paul Konchesky's on the line.
Who's a lump?
Yeah.
So we got, and he goes and gets the ball and gets everyone back, and then they're attacking, and it's like 96 minutes.
We're hanging on at 3-3 as well.
96 minutes. Like, we're over the 5 minutes it's meant to be. West Ham need to at least draw because they are going down otherwise. Yeah. And then suddenly we get a break with Defoe's got the ball and takes it up he's got a defender running back, and for some reason he takes it on, and the goalkeeper spills it inexplicably into the path of Timo Tarno in the middle of a goal.
Paul Stalteri, Timo Tarno, oh, come on. Paul Stalteri, the eagle, puts it in.
If the crowds you want to be in at Spurs are the Harry Kane header, the 3-1 at Inter Milan, just to be there for the 85th minute, but then
that one
yeah. is the one.
Yeah.
Because people were going mental.
And there's what I love about that is the Sky Sports commentator goes, oh no. Amazing. Check out the highlights on
that. Who was the manager of West Ham? I could picture it.
Kerbishley,
that's right.
Yeah. Good manager, actually, to be fair to him. We've got West Ham in the next league game. So it's international break coming up, but then we've got West Ham away. We won there 3-2 last season. Kane got a brace, Eriksen got another. We were 3-0 up and cruising.
Oh, yeah.
Aurier got sent off. They come back to 3-2, and we were hanging on in that
so
as well.
Think about this. The new FIFA's been released, and I haven't got it because I can't afford it. If anyone wants to buy a PS4 FIFA and send it to Mediacom London, I'd happily
take it. Other consoles are available.
Yeah, and if you want to buy me one of them, I'll have one of them. But the I was thinking about things, because one of the things we always talk about are players. Sissoko is brilliant on FIFA because you're controlling him.
Yeah.
You're controlling his athleticism. I think that there's things that Aurier can do in real life that you can't do on FIFA. For example, 3 foul throws. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He can do things he can't do on FIFA. We were cruising that game. I know we're not talking about
that. We were murdering him last year. Yeah.
Fully just taking him apart. I am bricking it. Because
it's always a difficult fixture, West Ham. Always a tough game for us.
They've got a decent team as well this year. This means everything to them. You know, there's a stereophonic song about the Six Nations. Don't want to be your enemy. As long as we beat the English, we don't care. Mm. And it's that mentality. We'll lose every game in the Six Nations. As long as we beat the English, we don't care. Mm. And it's the same for West Ham and Tottenham. They don't care about any of the other London clubs. They pretend they care about Arsenal, Fulham, QPR, whatever. This is everything to them.
But on the flip side, I would say as well, in terms of a rival in the league, they're not. But this is a big game for us, for our fans. Well, it's a London derby. Like, I get up for the West Ham game. It's a big match.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like, actually, if the last sort of 2-3 seasons, they've restricted us as well as any team.
Yeah.
Home and away. Like, I can't remember the last game we had that was comfortable. Like, I've got to go back a few years. Points of games like last year when you're 3-0 up and you're thinking we've got this, but it's going to be a tough game. We're going to have to play really, really well. My concern is set pieces going into this game, because West Ham have always been pretty strong. They've got a good delivery. Noble and Snodgrass in particular has got excellent delivery from set plays, and we've looked a little bit suspect defending them, so I think we're going to have to be really tight defensively, not give away stupid free kicks in our half where they can whip the ball in. Just be sensible, because we're better.
Yeah, yeah.
We're a better team than them,
we have to
play the opposition, not the occasion,
I've watched more West Ham games on TV than I have Spurs games. Just
unbelievable.
Just Sky schedules and when I'm available, and I watched them play Brighton. They were pretty bad against Brighton. Brighton were decent, so there are ways around them.
I think the biggest, and it's a big thing in any football game, but it's especially this one, first goal.
First goal's massive.
I think if we go 1-0 up, I think their fans will be really deflated. But if they get in front, then it becomes a difficult, really difficult game.
I was at the last game at Bowling, their old grounds, where they went 1-0 up, and the place was shaking. I had to leave 10 minutes early because I would have been murdered, actually murdered.
It'll be a tough, tough game. Hopefully, we've got a couple of players back in contention, because it's the international break. Hopefully we don't lose any more through injury.
Eriksen might be out for a long time.
Yeah,
Fletcher was out for a long time. We've really, really got to be worried about that. This is a big point in our season now. It's like you say, Christmas is coming when we have lots of fixtures. We need to start. I think that these kids are knackered.
Yeah. Knackered. Well, what's your prediction for the West Ham game?
2-0 Spurs.
I think it might be a draw. I think I could see a 1-1. I could see that. I could see them just cause us a few problems. I hope I'm wrong.
Spurs stepping up and just controlling.
I hope so. Kane just destroying them would be great. But we'll see what happens there. Quick fantasy football update. This is everyone's favourite part of the show. James Lamont still smashing it in top, 550 points. Good Richard man. Healy still holding it in second with 534. There's been another change in the top three. Ooh. So I've dropped out. I'm down to fourth. Dan Hearn.
No way.
Holiday Dan himself.
Love that boy.
Has got him to the lane is back. He's got himself into the top three. He's on 466 points. Fair play to him. He's had a great week. Hazard captain, so good to see that you're sticking to
your
London. He hasn't, to be fair to him. So yeah, good on him.
Isn't he an Arsenal fan anyway, Dan?
What, Dan Hearn? Yeah. He could be. I mean, he's always on holiday anyway, isn't he? So, Hot Totty Trilogy have dropped to 9th, so it's collapsing, as expected.
I love it. We're not allowed to talk about all his girlfriends on the on this, in case his girlfriend's listening. But he calls his thing Hot Totty Trilogy.
Unbelievable.
Spanish worm, Portuguese worm, Italian worm.
Unbelievable.
One from Slough.
We've got some listener questions that I want you to answer. So, on Reddit, Studio Dipan has said, our performances are unremarkable at best, so how long can we keep scrapping our way to wins without looking the part? We need to get back into our stride.
Chelsea won the league doing it, but we're not going to win the league doing it. It depends what you mean by stride. Like, if you mean tearing teams apart, I think it will come. I think you'll suddenly see in November, December, I think you will suddenly see it, and then when it goes... I don't know.
It's a difficult one.
We're unremarkable, but we're winning and we're getting results, and we're off to our best start in the Premier League era. So I'm all right with it. But you're right; it's worrying.
Yeah. Aggie Poe on Reddit has said, "We've not looked good this season, even before all the injuries kicked in, and for that reason, I think we'll miss out on top four to the scum and end up fifth with United in sixth. Where do you think we'll finish?"
Arsenal look great, but they look great in attack. They tore apart a poor Fulham team.
Yeah, that's
it. The people, when they've played the difficult team, they've lost because their defence is poor.
Exactly.
We can have them. We can have them, and I still believe we can have them. So I think the top four will be Man City and Liverpool, although they were both atrocious yesterday, Chelsea, and then us.
Cool.
That's it. Man United will... Arsenal will fall apart. Europa League will take a toll. They play Quarabag. They won 3-0, but... I still think we should get Aaron Ramsey in. I know no one else does, but I think he's absolutely brilliant. And Man United are hilarious.
They're nowhere. Yeah. Jason Berriard, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Jason, on Facebook has said, with 3 games in 5 days and the constant we must win a trophy talk, for those that actually use the phrase, do they rest Kane for the 2 Premier League games and go all out against West Ham in the cup? No. Or does must win a trophy not actually mean it? Is it just a soundbite?
I would always just play the kids in the Carabao, just use it as a youth cup, and then you play the Premier League, because unless you get to the final and win it, you actually lose money being in the Carabao Cup. It's a waste of time. Like, even if we win it, it'll be like you haven't won a trophy, so there's no point winning that. Get in the Premier League, get in the top four, get in the players. Like, the long term plan is the Premier League.
Adam Tindall,
Big
on Facebook.
Tindall.
Big Tindall,
you are
2 questions from him.
Yeah,
or 3 actually. Is Poch on a promise of transfer fans in January?
No.
Brilliant.
And the reason for that is no one makes big transfers in January,
especially if you're Spurs manager. Has morale been affected by the Kane wage increase? Should we bump up the other players?
We should bump Toby up, and we should bump Christian up. We should give them what they want.
Fine. John Dawkes again on Facebook says, does the panel think it is a contractual reason why he plays in big games? It is certainly not due to his playing ability. Eric Lamella has been energetic, creative and scoring goals regularly and should be a first team regular. Lamella.
Yeah, but who?
So basically, should Lamella be in the first team more, or are there contractual reasons as to why he's not?
I think for the right game he's absolutely brilliant, and he can I think he's actually smarter than we think he is, and tactically he's very astute. I think he... And I say every time, no one plays a through ball better than him. He's an absolutely brilliant assister. And I think for tight games, he's brilliant and he's sparky. I think he should play more. I don't know who you dropped, though. I think Son must be knackered. I would give Son 2 weeks off. Look, you played in the World Cup. You played in the national games. And now you're back playing the Premier League and all this. Give him
I think Lamella will get more games anyway. Like, with the amount of games we've got coming up, all of the players are going to play a lot more now. So hopefully that
good
problem
question,
sorts itself out. Yeah. And finally, Stato on Facebook... Have we peaked under Poch?
I think we've plateaued now. But Ferguson actually talks about it in one of his books. You do a line with a plateau, and then you do a new line with a new team. So this is why I'm thinking, right, it's now time. What do we actually do with this team? How do we take it to the next level? That's the exciting thing. Let's get Berahino in.
He scored, hasn't he?
He scored,
didn't he? It was his first goal for about 5,000 days or something insane, wasn't it? Great questions though, everyone there. Thanks
really
for writing
good.
In
thank you.
That's everything. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, we were going to talk about Vertonghen. He should be one of the legends of the club.
Vertonghen.
He has been absolutely brilliant for so long. He's played more games than anyone else. He's been absolutely brilliant, just so consistent, so brilliant. Player of the year last year, let's not forget. Plays
he's a
every
top
game,
centre-half.
Doesn't get injured. He could go to most teams in the world. I just want to give him a shout-out, you know, because he's just...
And he will be listening, so Jan, you know, we love him.
I don't really
you
know any Belgian, but... I don't know any Belgian. I was trying to think of Belgian things like chocolate. And Belgium's a rubbish country, though. Have you ever been...
I'm trying to think of Belgian things like chocolate. What a statement.
But the only reason... It's basically a giant motorway service that you drive through Belgium. It's a service centre.
And thanks for all of our Belgian fans that are listening as well.
If there are any Belgian fans listening, let us know.
Do you disagree?
Yeah. Hit us up on 0800 69 24/7.
And on that bombshell... Remember, whatever happens, future's bright, future's silly white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised, until today, just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain, and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.